Father, this morning, we submit it and commit it into your hands. You said that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. And this morning, Lord, build us, create in us a hunger and a thirst, something that you placed there as a seed, like you placed Jesus in the womb of a little girl thousands of years ago, and it bore the Son of the living God. Lord, place that seed within us, a creative seed that only comes from God. Jesus, we want to see you, not man. We want to hear what you've got to say to each and every one of us. There are people here that are hungry and thirsty. They're dry. Jesus, I pray, you will meet every need, every heart, every soul. Father in heaven, we put everything in your hands. I command the angels of heaven to come surround this place, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue raised in opposition we condemn. And we stand on higher ground this morning, here in this city called Broome, that Jesus, you placed this church here for a reason and for a purpose. And I know I'm not here by accident. Jesus, we want to tell you this morning, we love you, Lord. We need you desperately. We need you more than we've ever done before. The world's in a mess. God, I thank you for this great church and the great leadership of this church. And I put everything in your hands now. Everyone that's in this house, every family that it represents, every need that it represents, every desire that it represents, into your hands. And say, have your way, Lord. You lead, you guide, you direct, you do whatever you want. And I pray everything now in Jesus' mighty, marvelous, and matchless name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, musicians. Well, I'm just so happy to be here. I've been in Broome once, but it was only just passing through for a wedding, actually, for a few days. And it's quite a place. And we sat on the beach the other night and had chili prawns and pizza. It was great. I enjoyed it. So I've known your pastor and his dear wife for a number of years, and I love them and bless them. And after he came up here so many years ago, I wondered when I'd ever get an invitation. You know, but I prayed and prayed and prayed. And something must have blotted my copybook. But anyway, it finally happened. And so it's great to be here. And it's great to be amongst you all and see you all and to understand what God would do. The Lord brought us here for a purpose and a reason. When I got saved in a little Baptist church. I was an Anglican altar boy, but I didn't know Jesus. And I did the altar boy thing and winking at the gorgeous girl sitting out the front. And soon as I walked into the rectory after the service was over, the priest would turn to me and say, Rusty, have you got a cigarette? And so we'd light up in the rectory, and then we'd go down the front at the front of the church as they walked out and shake hands with everybody with a cigarette in one hand and shaking hands with the other. And I thought that was Christianity until a Baptist guy came and lived next to me, and he looked across the road and said, aha, there's a sinner over there. And so he evangelized my heart. I went to the Baptist church one night and I heard the man speak and say, you know, Jesus is here and he loves you. He's got a purpose and a plan for you and all sorts of gifts that he can give to you. And he said, but you need to give your life to Christ. And if that's what your heart is now saying, so I think I pushed three old ladies out of the way. I was weeping and I ran down the front and gave my life to Jesus. And I've never been the same since. And so I'm just so grateful to be here. I've been in ministry for 42 years. And I've been in 44 nations of the earth. And we've done all sorts of things, seen all sorts of things. I've seen blind eyes open, lame walk, dumb speak, deaf hear. I know what God can do. He's a miracle-working God. And I think sometimes we put handcuffs on him. I'm sorry to say, I think we do. I think the church in many places is so backwards, it's running its race. It sings that song, Backward Christian Soldiers. You know that song? You don't know that song? Oh, what's wrong with you people? And so, you know, we've done much. My precious wife was coming with me, and we were just so happy, you know, to get on that aircraft. And I said to Peter, we're coming up on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and going home on Monday. And she went to the bank the day before we were supposed to leave and fell over, unfortunately, and cracked a bone in her wrist. And then it all came to plaster, and you know, so she couldn't quite make it, which was really sad. So, but anyway, I'm here. So, and we've had a next time, yeah. Well, so I've just been in Afghanistan, and I've come back to Pakistan, high up in the mountains, in a place called Peshawar, which is a drug city. You can get any drugs there that you like. It's grown in Afghanistan and also in Pakistan, and some of the police chiefs are the biggest growers of those things. And yet they all dress up and, you know, they have the cap and they're police. And anyway, that's another story. But there's so much deception, it's frightening. And now I've done 3 weeks. I've just overcome hepatitis. I've had hepatitis for 3 months, and I've been going to sleep every night with liver pain. So I've got my hand on my liver as I go to sleep at night. Even I walk around like this with liver pain. It's terrible. And the doctor said, oh, Russell, this will be there for 12 months, and oh, you'll be this and you'll be that. And I said, no, I won't. And I had a lot of people pray for me, but I kept believing God that what he said in his word he would do. He's a miracle-working God. One night, 3 months later, I went to the little room, came back, and then I got into bed. It was dark, and all of a sudden, it was light. I saw a hand come out of the air, and a finger pushed me down in the forehead here, and said, "I've set you free. Go and have a blood test." So that morning, I rang the doctor who had told me, "No, Russell, this is going to be there for 12 months," and I said, "No, it won't." You know how doctors talk? Oh, they get all... I've got a brother-in-law like that. Every time he says, oh, you know, I go, hello and goodbye. So I go to this doctor and he does a blood test and he goes, look, I don't know what you've been doing. I said, I told you, but you don't listen. It was gone. 3 days later, I'm on my way back to Pakistan. And in that six-week crusade, this is tough going. You see, when it's a period of toughness, and listen, the world's in absolute turmoil right now. God is looking for people that will stand up and say, here I am, Lord, send me. A lot of people don't like that because they're in the comfortable zone and they don't want to be upset in the comfortable zone. So in that one of that meeting, I'd done... Actually, 4 weeks. I'd just gotten over hepatitis, and I was very, very tired. I was going home the next morning. I'll get into the word in a minute. And they bring an old man. It's out in the... It's out outside. So it's not a church like this. It's out in a bit of a football field, and there's 200 Afghans and Pakistanis and Tajikistanis and... Azerbaijanis all sitting. And they bring an old man and they put him right under the pulpit. And he's completely blind in both eyes. And then I hear in... Now remember, I'm speaking. And then I hear in this ear, Russell, I want to heal the blind man. Go to him straight after. Then I hear in this ear, But don't you do that, you look stupid. God will not open his blind eye. He never does that in Pakistan. He might do that in India, but not here. Then I hear the Lord say, Russell, I want you to go straight after you stop preaching and go to the blind man. I'm going to open his eyes. Now the blind man is sitting there as blank as anything. Now I'm preaching, so I got three voices in me. Who do you listen to? Yeah, you listen to the voice of the Lord. But you need to discern, is that the voice or is that the voice? So straight after I stopped preaching, I made an altar call and about 50 guys stood up to give their lives to Christ. I said, oh, something's happening here. Now some of my tiredness started to go. So I went to the blind man, took an interpreter, and I said, stand him up. How long has he been blind? Blind from birth. So I slapped my hand on his eyes and I prayed a Benny Hinn prayer and a Billy Graham prayer and a Margaret Court prayer and a Peter Basil prayer and a Rose Basil prayer. And finally I did a Russell Sage prayer. So I took my hand away and the blind man is completely blank. Eyes closed, blank. I said, what? What does he say? What does he say? He said he sees out of one eye, but not the other. I went, oh, God doesn't do 50%. You were not pregnant, darling. When the doctor said you were pregnant, he didn't say you're 50%. He didn't get you saved by 50%. 100%. That's the God you and I serve. I got so excited, I walked up to that blind eye and I slapped my hand on that blind eye. If there was any light going into that eye, it was now gone. I slapped it hard. I said, in Jesus' name be opened. And instantly had 20/20 vision in both eyes. Now all I'm saying is this. You don't need to clap. All I'm saying is this. Where are those gifts? What happened to those gifts? Where are they? Where are the gifts? The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Where are they in the body? Where are the apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers? I mean the real one, not the pseudo ones. Where are the ones? I asked the question, and here's my question. What is defined by manhood? And when I say manhood, I mean man and womanhood. God includes all of us. Peter at the Gate Beautiful in Acts chapter 3. They went at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to the hour of prayer to the temple called Beautiful. The word beautiful in the Greek means good timing. There was a man lame from his mother's womb, laying at the gate of the temple and asking for money. Acts chapter 3, you can read it. And Peter and John were going in and they both walked in, stopped in front of this man and said, look on us. Look. Look on us. Then Peter said to him, silver and gold I have none. I don't have any money, Jack. You're asking me for money. I don't have, Jack. I don't. But what I've got, give I unto you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Grabbed him by the hand and yanked him up. And instantly he was healed. Now all I'm saying is this. There's so much talent in this church. So many gifts in this church. So much potential in this church. It lays dormant. In many areas have gone to sleep. In some places in Perth and in different parts of Australia and different parts of the world, I'm an apostle. You're not an apostle, sweetheart. You're not an apostle's bootlace. God wants us to be real. So, you know, in the Arlington Cemetery in the United States of America, at the tomb of the unknown soldier, there are four guards. And no matter what, they don't move. Let me show you something. In 2003, a massive hurricane hit that area. They have been standing there, by the way, changing, since 1937 at the tomb of the unknown soldier. 16 people died in 2003 when that massive earthquake came through and hurricane came through. Those guys never moved. They did not move as that thing slammed into that building. They were still standing sentinel. See, that's what a soldier of God does. He recognizes the storm, but he never gives into it. And God himself has laid in his body, in this city called Broome, gifts and talents and purposes and callings. And you guys have got them. You really do. I think of the guy that built 33,000 people in his church in a few short years in Singapore. I met him when he was just a youth leader. His name was Kong Hee. The guy that actually set 8 people free in Afghanistan when the Taliban came in and picked up 8 people. There were 2 Aussies, a number of Americans, and then the rest were German. They kept them in Kabul for 3 months. But in 3 months, those Aussies behind bars on death row sang every day and believed God and prayed every day and sought his face every day and moved in the gifts. And people got saved in that jail because of those Aussies. And then 3 months later, the Taliban came in. The Northern Alliance was coming in, so they moved out of Kabul and they went into a mountainous area called Ghazni, and it's freezing cold up there, and they wanted to put them in a sea container. So they shouted and screamed and the Taliban left, but then a Tajikistani guy came and held them for ransom. And the guy who was the head of that shelter now team that I am connected to for 40 years, it's a personal friend of mine. Still, he's a German. One night he went to that Tajikistani warlord and said, "Tonight we go. At 1 o'clock in the morning, the Americans are sending a helicopter and we're going, and you're not going to stop us. And the only way that you can stop us is to put a bullet in my head." He saved 8 people's lives. Now, all I'm saying is this. God himself wants to do something mighty in you, and I believe he wants to do it this morning. Silver and gold I don't have. Well, how did you get it, honey? Jesus gave it to me. That's how you got it. In Proverbs 18 verse 16 it says, "The gifts, a man's gift makes room for itself." There are women here. You are highly sensitive in the prophetic, but you can move in the gifts of the discerning of spirits. You can see things and understand things, but you keep that to yourself. God himself wants to use you. God himself wants to impart something to you this morning. Now, I know you came Sunday morning to worship the Lord and have a lovely time, and then as Peter said, go home and get your chook out of the oven. But honey, you ain't going to get your chook out of the oven too quick today. Ain't nothing like a chook. I've met a few old chooks in my day. You see, in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to bring profit." Every man. You got something. You know why? You contain the Son of the living God. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, "Draw waters from the wells of salvation." Where are the wells of salvation? It's in here. Drink waters. Another scripture says, "Drink waters from this, from your own cistern." Many times when trouble comes, we're always looking for someone to come and help. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to look at ourselves. Say, "God, what did you do?" I've got God himself living in me. I've got a man in here. I've got the Spirit of the living God here. And the Bible says I have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and I know all things. Woo-hoo! Aren't you guys getting excited? No, not yet. You see, I'd love to have some time. I'd love to do an anointing seminar for you. Oh, no, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. See, in Matthew 10, 1 to 5, you got your Bible there, guys? And it says in verse 1, when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. I love this. He gave them power. What? Over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are Mary and John and Bobby and Jimmy and Cheryl and Rosie, and that's the name of all those. And it said here, and James the son of Alphaeus and Lebeus, whose surname was, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, don't go into the way of the Gentiles, and don't enter into the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the word hand means now, right now. Hello, if you got a problem in your body, the kingdom of heaven is now. It's not tomorrow. It's right now. You can be healed right now. You can be set free right now. God has something for you right now. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. So then he goes on to say, and as you go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what's the first thing he said? Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. What? Yeah, raise the dead. I was in the Philippines many years ago, and I was doing a seminar there. And an American preacher came to preach, older guy. And his 2IC said to me, Russell, have you ever raised the dead? I said, no, but I've been in many dead churches. I've seen a lot of dead churches. I've been in a lot of dead churches because of dead preaching. He said, oh, it's great. This guy's raised 7 people from the dead. I said, oh, really? So I said, God, I want to raise the dead. Well, I've raised a few dead churches. What did he then say? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. You can't do that without gifts. Cleanse the leper. You can't do that without gifts. Raise the dead. You can't do that without the workings of miracles. And then what did he say? Cast out demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. Just imagine the potential we've got. The Apostle Paul was a man called Saul of Tarsus before God flipped him over. He had no idea that he was going to be writing almost the entire New Testament. He was on his way to Damascus with a bunch of cronies, and a light came from heaven and shook him up like nobody's business. I believe it was an explosion, and all of them fell off their horses. You must have thought, my God, what am I doing here? Where did that power come from? Who's the authority of that? Where did that come from? And then he hears a voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he had the good mind to be able to say, who are you, Lord? He said, my name is Jesus, whom you persecute. And it was literally, you're going to do that anymore? I'm coming after you. You know, God's always chasing you. God's always trying to get you to the place where you should be and not where you are. I know. Always. So he says, freely you have received, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your money, nor 2 tunics, nor sandals or staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. God will provide, and he sure does. I love this. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm in Melbourne. I've just done 5 days in Melbourne in a church. And it's Sunday night. And it was years ago when Schindler's List had just come out. And I said to the pastor, have you and your wife, I can't remember her name, have you seen Schindler's List? I know we can get it on video. So we went down the video store and got Schindler's List. Anybody seen it? It's wonderful, isn't it? Very moving. True story. So we got Schindler's List out, but this lady had hearing aids in both ears for years. If she took them out, she was totally Mutton Jeff. So we're just starting to watch. I said, stop. I said, we're going to pray with you. I want God to heal your ears so you never have to wear those things again. And she said, oh, that'd be wonderful. We stopped the video. I said, take your hearing aids out, honey. She took them out. I prayed. And instantly she had both ears completely open. You see, you never know a miracle that God can use you in. It's just around the corner. Just around the corner. You never know who you're going to talk to today. You never know who you're going to touch today. You never know what God can do if only you'd put your hand in his hand and say, here I am, Lord, I'm ready. Let me press on quickly. That's why Paul said, you know, in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, the best picture of the gifts operating right throughout the body is your body. One cell, you have billions, now you have trillions of cells in your body. In actual fact, you're a living chemical factory. Why? These cells, you can't be seen with the human eye, yet it contains hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, sulfur, phosphorus, chlorine, potassium, iron, fluorine, iodine, a DNA, and millions of subcells all working together. Your arms and your legs are a gift to your body. Your eyes are a gift to your body. Your nose is a gift to your body. Your mouth is, don't get that into trouble, but you, that's very easy to get into trouble. Don't worry, I've gotten into trouble many times. You see, all working together with a nucleus and chromosomes and genes, all called Levi, which number 7 million, God's gene factory. One cell cannot grow. It produces a cell. One cell can divide by mitosis and become two living factories. The psalmist said, you know, you guys are wonderfully, beautifully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully, wonderfully made. God has made us fearfully. Wonderfully and fearfully made. That's why my arms are a gift to my legs. My legs are a gift to my body. Every organ in your body is a gift to you. That all operates together. That's what a church is. Imagine one gift here, one gift there, another gift there, one gift here, another gift there, all working together. Wow. Who gets headaches on a regular basis in this place? Put your hand up. That's not a hand. Anybody else? All right. Don't include me. Yes. Headaches? Regular? Migraines? No migraines. Who gets migraines? Are you not at the back? I see that hand, you lovely lady. Let me press on, guys, because I want to pray for you soon. In the gifts, in the body of Christ. You know, I had a different message for you this morning, but God changed it. And it was his fault. There are a great many latent, hidden, dormant gifts in the body. Great calls of God that lay just silent. I'll tell you about some. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:8, a gift is as precious stone in the eyes of him that has it. Wherever it turns, it prospers. Your gift. I don't know my gifts. Well, you never know what you've got, do you, sweetie? You have no idea what you've got. You have no idea. Well, I'm just good at natural things. I didn't know. I was a television director. I was a cameraman at Channel 7 and Channel 9. And then I went to London and worked in London Weekend Television as a copywriter. And then I became a director. These are all natural gifts. But I always looked at the stars and I thought, who did that? Where did that all come from? I look at my Bible and I never read my Bible. Why should I read my Bible? I go to church. I'm fine, I go to church. So long as I'm seen in church, I'm okay. But I don't know my Bible, because if I knew my Bible, I'd know the guy who wrote it. And I'd understand why he wrote it and why he spoke it to me. It's a letter to me. So there are great gifts in the body of Christ. There's a catering gift. Did you know that? 5 loaves and 2 fish, a little boy. Then there's the ambulance paramedic gift. 4 men carried a man who was completely lame. They tried to get him through the front door. It was completely chock-a-block full of people. Jesus is right in the middle. They couldn't get him in through the back door, through the windows. So one bright spark went, hey, hello, let's take him on the roof. So they took him on the roof, moved the roof away, and lowered him right down in front of Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. He rose up and they worshiped the Lord. I mean, there are leaders in government, biblically, long before governments ever appeared on the earth. Joseph and Daniel and Esther and Simeon. He was an eternal planner, a global architect. John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me, the miracles that I do, shall he do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And when I go to my Father, I'll send him to you. That's why Jesus came, spoke so much about the Holy Spirit, and said, I'm excited because, you know, I can't send him until I go. The moment I go, I'll send him. When I send him on the day of Pentecost, man, you go off your brain. You won't live in the natural. You now will live spiritually. I looked around this morning. I said, God, can this church multiply? He said, absolutely. I said, Lord, can this double? He said, yes, absolutely. What a lovely headache to have. Jesus, what's the purpose of spirit? The purpose of spiritual gifts. Well, it's like this. You cannot be a supernatural witness until you're a supernatural witness. The purpose of spiritual gifts, a ministry springs from divine equipment. Supernatural gifts prove that Jesus is alive in the earth and in power today. You know, the more I live and the more I preach in different churches, the more I see the potential sitting in the church, in the body of Christ. ready for something unique, ready for something more. And God himself, I believe, is ready to do something in every church, including this one, that will escalate, that will multiply into something more and something greater. You see, people have ideas, concepts, and details. Every one of these gifts edifies and builds and fires up the body of Christ. Gifts can bring warning. A guy called Roy Dunham, who was an American evangelist, is sitting on an aircraft flying out of Singapore to Delhi, from Delhi to Bombay, before it was called Mumbai. And when he arrived in Delhi, he said to the Hindu guy sitting next to him, "God has told me to get off this aircraft because it's going to crash when it lands in Bombay and kill everybody." And the Hindu man said, "What you have talked about all the hours out of Singapore to here, I'm listening to. I'm going to do exactly that same thing. If it's good enough for you, did God tell you?" He said, "Yes, he did." He got off that aircraft, grabbed all of his bags, he and the Hindu man. The aircraft took off, landed in Bombay, and killed everybody as it landed. You see, I know the prophet who prophesied the Darwin cyclone many years ago. 3 weeks before that thing slammed in, he said there's coming a devastating cyclone into this city, and lives are going to be lost. And you can read that all the way through. The Bible talks about special faith. Talks about mountain-moving faith. It talks of miraculous faith. It also talks of weak faith and no faith and little faith. I didn't know anything about those things. But then I looked all the way through. We were going down south of Mandurah, my two sons and some friends. And my wife Ellie's got a real gift of the discerning of spirits. And she can see prophetically. While she's sitting on the sand, she didn't want to go for a swim. I'm swimming around. She got prey against a blue-ringed octopus. I imagine you'll get them up here. Irukandji, is it? Yeah. So I'm swimming, and I'm following one of the young friends that came with us. Her name was Anne. So I looked, and there was this lovely white shell. I ducked down in about 4 feet of water and picked it up. And we were walking into the sea, into the land, you know, to the shore. And she was ahead of me, and I said, "Anne," and I threw it at her. She picked it up and took it, and there was a bucket of water next to Ellie, and she put it in the bucket of water. So Ellie's praying against the blue-ringed octopus, and all of a sudden she looked down there, and a blue-ringed octopus came out of that shell. I could have been bitten instantly. When she grabbed it, as I threw it to her, she could have died as well. You see, God knows. But here's a lady sitting on the seashore that got a word of knowledge. Pray against a blue-ringed octopus. We need more people like that who are sensitive to the Spirit, who care about what Jesus cares about. We need more people with great calls and great talents and great gifts and great potential. I want you to know there are many gifts sitting here. There are many talents and potential sitting here. Many times you just don't know because you're just in the line. You're just going along in the way. As much as these two precious people are trying to take you to a journey, God Himself wants to touch you and to bring you gifts. Were in use thousands for the last couple of thousand years. There were gifts of the voice, gifts of the eyes, gifts of the hands. What have you got? Who are you? What's your potential? Well, I want to lay hands on you guys. I want to impart to you today because I can. I've done it all over the world. I've seen thousands of people move in brand new gifts. That young man that had 33,000 people in his church, he was just a slim youth leader. And I looked at him and prophesied over him. You see, more things are wrought by prayer than this world ever dreams of. My heart, my lungs, my hands, my eyes, my muscles are all working together. I can talk about a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits, the power gifts, the gift of faith, the gifts of healings. I'm in Singapore. We lived in Singapore in 1986. And so, in lunchtime meetings all over Singapore in business houses, they have prayer meetings. So they sent me to a factory with a bunch of guys that love the Lord. And the guy who ran the factory said there's about 30 people coming. Anyway, this gorgeous Singaporean girl with long, straight black hair. I thought that's a bit unusual. And she said after me, she said, "Pastor, can you pray with me?" I said, "Yeah, honey, what's wrong?" She said, "Well, come over here." So she took me where other people weren't, and then she peeled back a wig of this black hair. And there was a complete bald head underneath there. And I said, "Oh, sweetie, I know what a bald head's like. I've had one for a long time." But you know, but the bald people are a lot more intelligent than the people with hair. She said, "Really?" I said, "Nah." I said, "Come on, I'm going to pray with you." So I anointed in her in oil, and I put my hand on her scalp, and I commanded every follicle to work in Jesus' name. Well, 3 weeks later, I'm in Singapore again. And I'm walking through department store. And I hear pitter-patter behind me. And I look around, and this little girl, Pasa, come here, I've got to show you something. So she took me behind some frocks. You know what a frock is? And she said, "Look." And she peeled the wig back, and there was 2 inches of black hair everywhere. I went, "Wow, that's wonderful." So I quickly raced out, got into a taxi, ran back to my hotel, ran into the bathroom in front of the mirror and put my hand on my head. So don't look at me as a bald head. There is hair there, baby, I'm telling you. I'll never forget that little girl. There's gifts of prophecy and tongues and interpretation. But there are many other. There's a gift of ruling and mercy and giving and exhorting and teaching and ministry and prophecy. And in Romans 11:29, "For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable." In Acts 19, verse 11, it talks about spiritual miracles. I thought all miracles are special. Oh, but there some are at a higher level. Like feet grow. When a man doesn't have a limb, then it grows. Wigglesworth sent a man that had no feet. Remember that story? He said, go to the bootmaker tomorrow and get, I think it was size 12, but he only took size 11 or something. So he went to the bootmaker and he said, I want two shoes. And the guy went, really? So he bought the shoes and put it down, and he put his stump in the first one and it grew a foot. He put his stump in the next one and it grew a foot. Special miracles. Where did that come from? Well, it's a creative miracle. If we're lacking those things, it's because we're not hungry enough for them. But if we're hungry enough for them, watch what God can do. You see, there are a few steps to get to this. Number one, desire. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. It actually means to crave for and long for. To desire. When I first saw men move in the gifts, I said, God, I want that. When a guy called Gordon Gibbs, many years ago, started moving and healing people in the meeting, I said, Jesus, I want that. He said, are you willing to take a price for it? I said, yes, I am. That's why it says, therefore, brothers, covet to prophesy. And don't forbid. Forbid not to speak in tongues. If anybody comes to you and says, do not speak in tongues, tell them they don't know the scripture. The next step is this. Don't you dare quench the spirit. If someone is excited about what God is doing in their life, don't pour a bucket of water on them. I've seen that happen. It's horrible. Oh, really? No, don't do that. Oh. Encourage them. Lift them up. Don't worry about the fruitcakes. Oh, God will look after them. The next step, quickly, guys. 1 Timothy 4:14 to 15 says, neglect not the gift that is within you, that was given you by prophecy. And the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Step 5, 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore, brothers, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift that's in you. And step 6, Romans 1:11 says, for I long to see you that I might impart some spiritual gift to you. It comes by impartation and prophecy. Jesus Lord. Let's see what God wants to do. Shall we? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Peter, why would I start with you? The things that you had in your heart when you first came, you and Rose, you came together as a team, and you've always operated as a team together. And I want you to know that God honors that. But now, there's an extra area. It's like another slice to who you are. And it's deeper, Now you've heard those things before. God's going to take you deeper and higher, but this is much deeper and more extensive in the apostolic. Because you're a constructor, a developer, a builder. And you're a sustainer. Once you build a building, you contain that building and you keep it up and you keep it upright and you keep it strong. And then God is now saying, I want you now to look to the greater revelation of the potential that's in both of you to take this forward. What you have done, said the Lord, is exemplary. No one else could have done it because nobody else did it, said the Lord. In this place's history, no one else has done what you've done. And now the construction grows another building on top. And now what happens is the revelation of who you really are. Even when you were a young man and you had hearts and a desire and a passion and you were looking ahead, said the Lord, is now, is this time. Because I come to drop those things in your spirit, man, that you might see what I see, hear what I hear, and do what I do. Now watch. As you wait in my presence, as you confer in my presence together, what I can do, said the Lord, because there's an escalation that's coming, a multiplication that's coming. And a deep desire that's been in your heart for a long time. There is a breakthrough, said the Lord, I'm going to bring. Because I've had it in my heart. For this place for years, but I couldn't find a man. I always looked for a man and I found you and Rose. And from this moment, said God, I'm going to show you the opportunities. I'm going to open the doors that no man can close and close doors that no man can open. Watch. The realm of the Spirit is now going to intensify and increase. And all over this place, you'll start to see sparks. And those come alive, said the Lord. And sister, I don't know who you are. This your wife? Well, there's something very special about her. She's very sensitive in God. Is that right? Yeah. And God gives you dreams. Have you had dreams? You had visions? No, not yet. Well, you're going to get them. You have a great sensitive heart, sweetheart. I'm going to lay my hand on you today and impart something greater to you. Don't be frightened of that. And remember this, you have a husband, but you don't work separately, you work together. And God is going to increase on your life. You see, what he's actually doing is your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, and neither has it entered into your heart. There are five men here this morning. God has got his hand on you very, very powerfully. He's going to use you. Honey, can you come to the keyboard? Thank you, Jesus. Five guys. Thank you, Lord. Who are the prayer warriors here? Any solid prayer warriors? You know that God's called you to prayer. Great. No ladies? Great. Prayer warriors, stand up. Anyone else? Great. Don't be shy. Shyness is tied to pride. Aha. Anyone else? You have an unusual spirit, and God's going to do an unusual thing in you because He's doing an unusual thing in you, and you need to come alive to the fullness of what He's actually saying. You know that scripture that said the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. They are without repentance. So God will come and give. But you've got to come alive to it. You've got to wake to it. And God's going to wake you up, my son. He's going to make you come alive and awakened. There is something in your history. Somebody prayed for you a long time ago. I believe it was an older lady prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. And you need to ask the Lord who. Because that woman's prayers have brought you to this place right now as you stand in front of me, says the Lord of your God. Jesus. You prayer warriors, you prayer ladies, can you come here, you prayer people, come out the front. Just stand along here, facing me. Thank you, Lord. Hands up those who want to move in the gifts. This is not a hand, that's a hand. Stand up, you got your hand on, your hand up. Anyone else? And you're going to weep for what you get. But you're going to pray for people. You know why, honey? You have a beautiful heart. God put that heart there. He's going to show you people to pray for. He's going to show you a bunch of people to pray for. And then individuals to pray for. God's weeping over them. Because of what they have gone through and what they're going through. And you know some of them. Is that right? And the Lord's going to give you that passion for them prophetically. But He's giving you a great responsibility on your little shoulders for prayer and intercession and petition and waiting. And watch what happens out of that. You know, there was a guy, an older man, used to stand in right in the heart of Sydney and hand out tracts for years and years and years. Never saw anybody saved. And when he died, literally thousands and thousands and thousands people gave their lives to Christ because of that one person who prayed them. God's going to use you. And I see three others coming around you to pray with you. They're all women. But God is going to bring an anointing on all four of you. That's the word of the Lord to you. Now listen carefully. This will take your time. This will cost you. And it's for your future. Your family, for your individual future. It's for this city. That's what He's doing here this morning. So I want you to open up your heart. Get rid of any preconceived ideas you might have. Just be open. And if the Lord shows me more prophetic, like there's on you, there's an anointing on you, sweetheart. I don't know who you are, but there's a call of God on your life too. Later on, when you're older, you'll find that out. You know why? There's a great sensitivity in you. You're going to see people, understand who they are. You can do it even now. You got your Bible? What? Who's your mama? Mama? Y'all got to buy a Bible for her. Listen, a page a day of the Bible will keep the devil away. A page a day will keep the devil away. Get me? Just a little bit, little bit, little bit. But it's going into your heart and into your brain. Why? Because he's called you. That's why. Thank you, Lord. She does. Of course she does. With a mama like you, of course. Hands up the sick. That's a hand, honey. Right. Not too many of you. That's wonderful. This is a pretty healthy climate here. Healthy preaching. When I lay hands on you, I don't want you to look at me. I know I'm beautiful. I want you to look at Jesus. But when I lay hand on you, what would he say? Stir the gift that is in you, that was given you by prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Peter and Rose and myself this morning are the presbytery. So when we lay hands, you take. Your faith takes. If I come to you on your birthday and have a great gift in my hand and say, I have a gift for you. Here it is. And you go, no, I don't like gifts. Jesus will back right off. He won't give it to you. But if you get hungry and passionate and thirsty, God, I want everything. I want those things that I don't have. I want to move in these gifts. The discerning of spirits. The gifts of healing, the workings of miracles, the gift of prophecy. I want to speak in tongues and interpret those tongues. I want to know that God, I'm hearing from you. I've been a Christian a long time, but I'm not hearing and I'm not doing enough. Get it? This is not just a little hand laying. This is a time for impartation. So when I come to pray with you and Pastor Peter and Pastor Rose come to pray with you, you take. You take. You take it to yourself. You take it to your heart. Thank you, Lord. Look at Jesus. See him coming to touch you. Not me. Not Pastor Peter or Rose. Get your hands behind. Don't put your hands behind your back, son. Don't stand like a schoolmaster in front of God. Remember who's here. Close your eyes, honey. You today, I want to receive from your hand. If it's a word of knowledge, make sure that it's not something that you want so you will look great in front of other people. I never knew that God could gift me. I never knew it until people were coming back and saying to me, you know, I had such and such, it's gone when you prayed for me. Pastor Peter, I see a young brigade coming in here, like these guys. Younger and younger. I see more coming. Thank you, Lord. Now, when we come to lay hands on you, don't you dare look at any of us. You keep your eyes and heart focused on Jesus. because that's who we're dealing with. Okay, we're going to come and lay hands on you now. I know. She's ready to rock and roll. I know.